First Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Be vigilant. We have an adversary. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again this morning. Satan will have your children unless you do something to stop him. I believe that that is a direct quote from Dr. Alan Brown. Satan will have your children unless you do something to stop him. I mentioned last Sunday that I'm not getting away from hearing my uncle's words, or the words of the rich man in the New Testament, in my uncle's voice. Where the rich man found himself in the place of torment, and he cried out, "Send somebody back to tell my family. Send somebody back to tell my family." Because he was tormented in those flames. My uncle was brought up in a good Christian home. He was already born, and I forget how old he was when Pap and Graham came to faith. Were converted in the old United Methodist Church. Soon they switched over to the Free Methodist Church. They were very active in the Bald Eagle Valley Holiness Association, very active in the Bald Eagle Valley Prayer Band. God met with them time and time again. Every Sunday afternoon, the prayer band would get together and pray and seek God. It was in those prayer band times that my pap learned by the Holy Spirit's instruction how to read. Did not know how to read. Leader gave him a Bible and said, "I want you to read such and such." And he said, "I can't." He said, "I want you to read such and such." And God, the Holy Ghost, taught him how to read. I've heard stories from different ones of how God would hear their prayers, and that prayer band would focus on something or someone, and they began to pray and seek God, and it would come to pass. They closed down taverns. Some taverns and dance halls burned down, not by any one of them, but by the Holy Spirit in answer to their prayers. Somebody would burden their heart, and they would pray and seek God, and that person would find themselves under old-fashioned conviction that gripped their hearts. Back in those 40s and 50s into the 60s, even the 70s. I remember, and I've told you before, of Uncle Charlie that came to camp. And if it hadn't been for hearing O.W. Willis tell the same story, I'm sure by now not even want to mention it, because my cousins and my brother don't remember anything of it the way I remember it. Sitting on the front bench at camp, and Uncle Charlie was kneeling at the front altar. He had to carry him in and carry him out, and they had an anointing service, and he was brought to the altar. I didn't even remember who it was that anointed him until I was talking to Brother Willis, and he's the one that anointed him. And he confirmed, without me asking any questions, he confirmed what I could remember and what I could see, as after that anointing time that God began to heal him. And I watched, Brother Willis watched, as his fingers and his arms and his legs stretched out. And he walked out of that service that day. God was in the place somewhere along the line. My uncle walked away from it. And by all accounts, some unknown mercy of God would prevent him from being in a torment place of hell today. I can still hear him. Send somebody back. Send somebody back to my family. I'm sure it's because of that that I'm brought in my attention to this passage this morning of the adversary, the devil, walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Sing this with me if you can, if I can. It will be when we see Jesus, life's trials will seem so small. When we see Christ, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race. Do we see Christ? Did you hear that? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Trials will seem so small. When we see Christ, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race. Do we see Christ? Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. You see, it's not just a matter of an individual here or an individual there, but he has his target set, his sight set on every single person, every individual. And his only desire, his only aim is to destroy that person. There's no love. There's no care. There's no desire to give any kind of pleasure. His only desire is to destroy or to deceive that individual. It tells us that he's a roaring lion. Now, I've never been out into the wild to see what a roaring lion is like. I guess I've probably heard a roar of a lion at a zoo. But when he's behind the cage, behind that fence that's designed to keep him in and to keep me out, it's not a whole lot of fear that goes on in that zoo when I hear that roar of the lion. The best thing that I can do to describe how fierce it is to recall the time just a few years ago when Merrill caught a bobcat in a box trap. I have it on video. It's on my Facebook page a number of years ago, whenever it was, but occasionally I go back and I watch it, and the same feeling comes over me as it did then when I saw that bobcat in the cage and we walked up to it without any weapons on us at all to release it. Fangs showing, snarling, hissing, the claws of its paws sticking out and ready at any moment to do some destructive, cause some destruction with those claws and with those fangs. Now, I can stand quite a bit taller than what that cat does. Even if it was stretched out and stood up on its hind legs, I'm still much larger than that bobcat. But I can assure you that as I watched that thing in that cage, I had no desire to see who would win. As a matter of fact, I begged Merrill to let me go back and get a gun. Because what if he came out of there and turned on us? What if it was released and he decided that he was going to come back, or she, whatever it was? I didn't stick around to see which side of the animal it was. Please let me go get something if it turns on us. He didn't trust me, I guess. Figured that I'd take a shot at it anyway, whether it came at us or went away from us. But I can picture that, and I can imagine that if that is the way that little cat was, how ferocious and fierce and dangerous a wild lion is. And that's the picture that Peter gives us of the enemy of our soul that is doing his best to track you down, track me down, with its sights, his sights, settled on us individually. Anyone in the whole world. I don't think that there's anybody exempt, is there? As a matter of fact, we can go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 4, verse number 1, and it tells us here in Matthew's gospel that Jesus wasn't exempt either. We see in chapter 4, verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, I'm sure that you recall that story. You understand what had taken place. He had fasted for 40 days, 40 nights, and I can't imagine how he felt at the end of that time for the enemy to come, the devil to come, and begin to tempt him with things that his natural body longed to have. There wasn't any sin in eating bread at that point, and here the enemy of Jesus was coming to tempt him to eat bread. Now that should startle us, that should alarm us, that not everything the devil is telling us is going to be harmful to us, but if he's trying to get you to do something, you better back off, even if you can justify it. Similar to Job and his circumstances, Lot and his circumstances. Paul talks to the Ephesian church in chapter 4, verse 14, about this very thing as well. He said that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Lie in wait to deceive. I have a couple of traps set out front. You may have seen them when you came in. One's on one side of the driveway. The other one's down a little further on the other side of the driveway. I have those traps set. They are lying in wait in an attempt to take those moles out. Lying in wait. That mole doesn't have a clue that it's there. At least hopefully it doesn't. That's the design anyway. That's the purpose of it, to have that mole come crawling through that little tunnel that it made sometime before and want to come back through it for whatever reason, only to trip that thing and take it. Do you understand what a trap is? Do we see what a trap is? There's nothing wrong with the tunnel. There's nothing wrong with it going to where it wants to go, except that there's a trap waiting to take it out. And I get pleasure every time that it trips and I dig it up and there's a mole. Why is there pleasure in that? Because I'm destroying something that I don't like. You see, the devil is exactly the same way. He doesn't care one bit about anything else of your life except to destroy you. Lying in wait to deceive. This thing of being pressed into the world's mold is becoming more and more prevalent and more obvious. Pressed into the world's mold rather than having our mind renewed by the Word of God. You know, do we filter God's Word through our own thinking or the thinking of our society, or do we filter our thinking and filter the things of our society through God's Word? Peter is telling us that we need to be sober, we need to be vigilant, we need to be careful, not have an impaired thinking. We need to be vigilant, that it would be that we are alert and watchful, we are paying attention. Some of you are setting traps in your garden trying to keep the raccoons out because they'll destroy your corn in just a night if there's enough of them that'll wipe it out. Merrill had one this year down here in the garden, and by the time he got to it, it had ripped open the side of that cage, that trap, and it escaped. You know, how hard is it going to be to catch that one again? May not be able to use the same bait, may not be able to use the same trap. It's going to be vigilant, I think. Maybe next year it'll lose that vigilance. Have you lost vigilance over the last year when you succumbed to a trap of the enemy sometime back and you thought, well, I'll never fall for that again and I'll never do that again. I can see the consequences to that trap. I see the consequences to what I've done. I see the error in my way. I will never do that again. But then sometime later down the road, as things begin to fade and we forget about it and we lose sight of it and those consequences begin to lose their strength in our lives that are in our mind, and we see ourselves getting awfully close to another trap. Or maybe we are getting so blind that we can't even see the trap, we just see the bait. The enemy has a lot of things to dampen our senses. A lot of things to cause us to lose sight. Hollywood. Hollywood's not a friend of grace. It's not. Oh, well, that main actor's a Christian and testify. Well, that's okay. Be careful about Hollywood, because Hollywood is not a friend of grace. You know, let me go so far this morning to say that Christian radio, talk radio, may not even be a friend of grace either. If we're feeding our minds on the things that this world has to offer, I think we have to be extra careful. We have to be very careful about what is dampening, or what we are allowing into our lives, into our minds, to dampen our attention and our vigilance. We can go back into the book of Daniel, chapter number 5, or even before that, and you follow it through, you can see that this group of people, these people of Babylon, were so confident in their strength and so confident in their might and so secure in their fortress of a city, even while God was dealing with hearts and God was showing his hand writing on the wall, and even while Daniel was giving the interpretation and was trying to bring an alarm to the people, even while all of that was going on, there was something other taking place in the silence and in the quietness and in the very point that they thought could never happen. Their guard was down and the enemy slipped in. And that night, you can read it. It's chapter number 5. I believe it's the last two verses that speaks specifically about it. Tragedy came. Let me go back here and read that verse again out of Peter. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It is alarming, and I want all of us to be alarmed by it. I don't care how long we've been a Christian this morning. I don't care how long we've been in the church. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me that we have developed this callous within us that seems to think that the devil cannot get to me because I've been in this so long. I can't fail. I can't fall. God will be with me. Yes, God will be with me. But the traps are laid. The enemy is seeking. The enemy is following. The devil, the lion, is roaring, trying his best to destroy every single one of us. I don't want to take away from that at all. I want you to understand the alarm, the necessity of vigilance. But I also want you to be introduced or reintroduced to the lion of the tribe of Judah. Revelation speaks about that, chapter 5, verse 5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Now you say, well, that context, that really doesn't apply here. No, you're right, it doesn't necessarily, the context doesn't necessarily apply here. But if we take that reality out of that verse, that there is also another lion, a lion of the tribe of Judah, who has been able to withstand the roaring lion and to overcome the roaring lion, and has been able to provide us a path to walk and sufficiency, as we heard, of the grace of God to sustain us and to stand firm, then we need to know about this lion of the tribe of Judah. Just a couple of verses down from 1 Peter 5:8 is 1 Peter 5:10. I don't want to take away from verse 8. I want us all to realize that verse 8 is real. But on the other hand, I want us all to realize that verse number 10 is real. But the God of all grace. The God of all grace. The sufficiency, as they sang about, the sufficiency of his grace. who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, settle, or strengthen, settle you. We don't really know a whole lot about that line of the tribe of Judah, but if we look here, we can see that 1 Peter 5:10 is talking about that lion of the tribe, the other lion, the great lion. That no matter what you face, no matter what is going on, that there is a lion of the tribe of Judah who has the sufficiency of grace to help us overcome him. We don't have to fight it alone, otherwise we would all fall. But because of God's grace, we can stand. You can stand. It doesn't matter how weak you are. In our weakness, He is made strong. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. But the God of all grace, the God of all grace, thou God seest me, the God who listens, the God who hears, even when the clouds seem to hang ever so low and ever so thick, God still sees. God still hears. Thou, God, seest me. It's fear to the sinner. It causes focus to the slothful or the edge dweller. It's faithfulness. It causes faithfulness to the saints. What am I talking about this morning? Well, on one hand, I'm talking about the devouring devil. But on the other hand, we have a great deliverer. Are you following the great deliverer? Are you following closely the great deliverer, the God of all grace? Young people, older people alike, the enemy wants to destroy you. He wants to entangle you. He wants to pull you down. The enemy wants to destroy you, simply put. But God's grace is sufficient. Let's stand together this morning. Someone's listening this morning that would fall into that first category. Causes fear to the sinner. Somebody else is listening this morning that would, it should cause focus to the slothful or to the edge dweller, the one that's just maybe lukewarm. If you're in those categories, one of those two categories this morning, why don't you pray? And slip on over to that final category, faithfulness in the saint. Don't dwell on the edge. Don't dwell outside. But dwell in faithfulness. Someone may think that they have the bull by the horns, life in your grip. Be warned. Be warned. Satan's path leads nowhere but to destruction. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. one glimpse of his dear face, all the toil, the trial, the trouble will erase when we see Jesus. I encourage you to faithfulness. Thou, God, seest me. He's faithful to the faithful. Praise God. The altar is open if somebody wants to pray, needs to pray. Please come and pray. Be happy to stay with you and pray. Anybody need to come? Anybody's heart saying come? Thank you for your attendance and attention this morning. Okay, Davis, would you dismiss us in prayer?